Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, and we're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, EB, and JP hanging out. Cakes will be back on Monday after his two-week vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But Dave Richard joins us right now for the first time this season, CBS Sports Fantasy Football Expert. There are three ways to link up with Dave Richard and his fantasy football advice on X at Dave Richard. You can hit him up. You see him on YouTube every morning by searching Fantasy Football Today and CBS Sports Network, of course. What's up, Dave?
Gentlemen, it's great to hear your voices, and how ironic that Cakes isn't here. It's like draft prep weekend, man. People are having their drafts this weekend, next weekend, and he's just not around to hear the good stuff today.
I wouldn't put it past him to call in.
He'll hear it.
Yeah,
I guarantee
I'm going to guess you know the answer, but what do you think he's done in his last week of his staycation? He went away for a week to Kew Island. Actually, EB and I saw him last night, but where do you think he has been this week?
I'm guessing the poker room.
He's been to the poker room.
You got it, buddy.
Hey, so actually, I wanted your take on this before we get kind of your eyeball test on Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, because we know you were out at the joint practice in Miami.
Yep.
How do you feel about certain statistics like sack to pressure ratio, average depth of target, and those sort of things? Do you look into those things when you're looking at quarterbacks?
Average depth of target matters quite a bit. I prefer to look at those stats on a game-to-game basis rather than a full season because, you know, a game plan might change. There might be a game this year where Dan Quinn tells Cliff Kingsbury, okay, yeah, bombs away. Let's throw a bunch of 15-plus yard passes and really test the secondary. And then there might be a game this year. I don't know if they play the Jets or not. I don't have the schedule directly in front of me. They do play Baltimore. That's a good defense. So maybe in that game they're going to say, we're probably going to need to check it down a little bit more, keep it safe with the football. Well, the average depth of the target won't be as deep there. So I think that needs context as far as game-to-game goes. Mm-hmm. There isn't a team, there isn't a quarterback that consistently has the same exact depth of target week after week after week. It just doesn't work that way in the NFL. It doesn't work that way for wide receivers either. That stat applies to wide receivers and tight ends. And it comes up with one cozy number at the end of the year. But there are going to be games where a receiver, McLaurin's going to have an A dot of 5 yards like he did for a lot of the games last year. And then he's going to have an A dot of 18 yards in a couple of games. So it's just varying from game to game. It's not an end-all, be-all stat. And it's certainly not a stat, that one, nor sack to pressure ratio, that should be used as like stone cold facts. This is why you're starting a guy. Like, I don't know if I've ever said you're starting this receiver because his A dot is 11.
Right.
I just don't think that that's just something that comes into play. It adds context, but it's not even the best source of context unless you're looking at it on a game to game basis.
All right. Now, the reason I brought that up is because EB was, in my opinion, getting a little carried away with Jaden Daniels' performance in the preseason. I said, well, look, he's got great completion percentage and all that stuff, but he's been throwing mostly sideways
passes.
By the
way, my evaluation is based on the evaluations of all the reporters that are out there. Everything.
And that's what I'm getting to. So the reason why I bring it up is I brought that up as like, hey, well, let's just wait and see. We haven't seen him have to make tight window throws. We haven't seen him pressured. We don't know what's going to happen. But you actually watched him in practice. What did you see?
I saw those tight window throws. And granted, I saw one practice. Mm-hmm. So that's one data point. The preseason game, that's another data point. The guys that are covering the team every day, they're the ones that see all the data points. So they're going to know exactly what Jaden Daniels is all about. But in that joint practice, I saw excellent ball placement. Think about a receiver that's tightly guarded by a cornerback, and the quarterback puts the ball in the air up high just to the right of the receiver where only the receiver can go and get it. That's what happened on his first touchdown throw to Terry McLaurin. I think that he does a really good job of taking care of the football. Mm-hmm. There were times when the Dolphins defense got pressure on him. Mm-hmm. He avoided the pressure and he put the ball. He probably was throwing it away, but he gave his receiver a chance to maybe make a play for it. Mm-hmm. You've seen those throws where it's my guy or nobody gets it. Those types of throws. He did that. I don't remember seeing any interceptions. I don't remember seeing anything off target and going, whoa, that doesn't look right, or whoa, that's what a rookie's supposed to look like. He was polished coming out of LSU. And so now to see him that polished in Washington in practice and in preseason games, man, that's encouraging. And that's why he's a top 12 quarterback for me in fantasy, guys. Mm-hmm. I think you can draft him. I don't know if I'm ready to start him week one when they go up against Tampa Bay, but I'm feeling that he will end up being a difference maker in fantasy this year. And he's going in round 9, round 10, just one of those later quarterbacks on draft day. Especially when you add in the rushing yardage and what he's capable of doing. And here's another point. Eckler told me this. He knows how to take care of his body. He knows when to slide, when to get out of bounds. That's something he didn't always do a good job of at LSU. Austin said that he's doing a better job of that now, and that's something that would extend his career, save him from missing playing time.
Yeah. It's interesting that you do rank him 11, and you rank him ahead of guys who had 30-plus touchdown passes last year. Now, Daniels is a runner, Purdy and Tua are not. You have him ahead of Caleb. You had him ahead of Jared Goff, who had 30 passing touchdowns. But again, these guys aren't runners like Daniels is. What kind of numbers are you projecting rushing for JD?
I think he settles somewhere between 700 and 900 yards. Mm-hmm. So I'll be a little shy of 1,000 yards.
That would be huge.
Yeah. That's almost 100 extra fantasy points on top of what he does as a quarterback, and I think he's a really good quarterback. So maybe I'm getting a little too excited after seeing him. And again, I've only seen him in preseason games and in one joint practice. So I've had 3 data points to go off of on top of doing what EB's done, which is looking at what the reporters say and more than one of the reporters. And man, the Commanders have a lot of smart people following the team. I just think that Daniels, there haven't been many reports of Daniels being flustered or being off target. You're reading that with Drake May, and it sounds like Drake May is coming around in New England, but it just doesn't sound like Daniels is going through the same type of growing pains that May is going through, or that J.J. McCarthy went through. And that's a really good thing, and it makes me optimistic to take the chance on Daniels in fantasy.
I agree, but you mentioned there is one guy, and these guys are telling me he's a freaking fantasy legend. What was the guy's name? Aaron Schatz or something that said, it looks like Daniels, forgive me.
He thought Caleb was going to be a superstar.
Well, Daniels might be the guy that's not, and he didn't say it because of Jaden. He said because of Kingsbury. And then there's been this whole criticism of Kingsbury's offense. What is your take on that?
I think Kingsbury isn't going to run the exact same type of offense that he ran in Arizona. Right. And that's encouraging to me. I think Dan Quinn is still a little old school when it comes to offensive philosophy. He wants to run the football. He'd love to win games with defense. I don't know how many games he's going to win this year with the defense as it's constructed now. I love the linebackers, but I worry a little bit about the pass rush in the secondary. I think they're going to need Jaden to throw. And I doubt that it's what Cliff Kingsbury's offenses used to be. I think it's going to be a little bit more of spread formations, plenty of motion. That's something that I saw in the joint practices too. They used a lot of motion. They used a lot of tight ends. That's something that we didn't see from Kingsbury, for example, in his college days. I would venture to say that Kingsbury has kind of matured a little bit, and that he doesn't want to be this like air raid guy. And he wants to be a winning guy. And if that's going to be the case, he will develop an offense that's perfect for Jaden Daniels, and he will roll with it. I also think that the addition of Brian Johnson is huge for Washington because he came from Philadelphia. Mm. He worked with Jalen Hurts. I think we're going to see a little bit of Philadelphia's offense involved in what Washington does this year, too, when they do indeed decide to drop back to pass or use an RPO, and there's going to be a lot of that this year. That encourages me.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Dave Richard, fantasy football guru for CBS Sports. You can watch him live on YouTube every morning. Just search Fantasy Football Today and, of course, CBS Sports Network. Anthony Richardson's a guy who was intriguing last season, only was on the field for 4 games. Where do you have him ranked amongst quarterbacks in fantasy football?
I've got him ranked pretty high, and it's based on the upside that he brings as a rusher. And here's somebody who I think can put up bigger rushing numbers than Daniels can, but I do worry a little bit about his passing. I was at his first preseason game this year. He barely played. It was against Denver, and man, he looked rusty. And the reports out of Indianapolis were not exactly glowing from day to day about Richardson. He'd have some good drills. He'd have, you know, a great drive and a 7-on-7, and then he'd louse it up in 11-on-11. So I think he's still a work in progress as a passer, which is terrible because I actually thought he made some progress last year before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. But as a rusher, man, he offers he could be the number one quarterback in fantasy because if he's getting a rushing touchdown and 40 or 50 rushing yards every week as a floor, I mean, he doesn't have to do that much as a passer in order to be great. It's kind of like a cheat code for your fantasy team. So here's how I have my quarterbacks ranked. I've got Jalen Hurts 1. I've got Mahomes 2. Josh Allen is 3rd. I know that in some leagues he's going first off the board. I don't like that. I think he's 3rd. Lamar Jackson's next, then C.J. Stroud, mm-hmm. and then Anthony Richardson. Wow. And that's my top 6. Mm-hmm. And Richardson is a risk. And if you're taking him in round 5 or so, the risk is he could get hurt again. He won't be that good of a passer compared to other quarterbacks around that time. He might turn the ball over a little bit more, but man, what he can give you on the ground, just there isn't anybody really like that in the NFL outside of Hurts and Josh Allen. You're getting him a couple of rounds later. To me, that's why he's worth taking the risk on. And if you wanted to, you could take another quarterback later on, including, how about Jaden Daniels in round 9 or round 10? And now you've got two quarterbacks that can run, two possible cheat codes. If they both hit, you can trade one of them. And if one stinks, the other one will hopefully be good.
It's interesting how you have Caleb 14, so you've got him 3 spots below Daniels. Mm-hmm. And you've got him, 8 spots below Richardson. Now, Caleb isn't the runner that those guys are. So, but do you think Caleb is going to struggle, have rookie struggles that these other guys won't? Because some of these other guys, like Eisenberg, has him a little bit higher than you, and so does Heath Cummings. So they think he's a little bit better than you do. What's the take on Caleb for you?
They're buying into his upside, and honestly, his situation is phenomenal. You think about the receivers that he's throwing to with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, mm-hmm. plus all the other peripheral guys in that offense. This is a quarterback that I've seen a lot of. I was at Bears minicamp earlier this offseason. I've seen the preseason games. I hear about what happens in practice. For the most part, he's good. He's really good. I'm a little nervous about just how reliant he'll have to be on those off schedule plays, meaning his first read's covered, his second read's covered, he's running out of the pocket, now he's got to make a play, oh, he's going to fire a 45-yard pass to Rome Odunze. That's a double-edged sword. That adds extra fantasy points, that's true, but it could also lead to interceptions, it could lead to turnovers, incompletions that could have a turnover on downs. And he's not going to run for the same type of yardage as Daniels or Richardson, but he might get to 300 yards, and he might rush for 5 or 6 touchdowns on top of it. I'm just kind of taking a passive approach with Caleb Williams, thinking that Tua Tagovailoa, as long as his receivers are healthy, that's an issue for him. I think he's got more upside. Purdy, as long as he has Brandon Ayuk, he's got more upside. And even guys like Jordan Love, Kyler Murray, these are players who have impressed in the past. Love last year, Murray, 3 years ago or so, and they're in great situations. I would take them ahead of Caleb Williams. But there's nothing wrong with taking Caleb Williams as your second quarterback in case he hits. I just don't think he's – listen, I really believe in Jaden Daniels as a passer. I think he was the most polished prospect. I think Caleb was right behind him. And so I can't say Caleb is going to, you know, break all these Bears records and have 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns and 300 rushing yards and 5 rushing touchdowns. I think he'll fall a little bit short of that. And so I'm just going to be a little bit cautious when it comes to taking Caleb compared to some of the other guys around the league.
So, Dave, you mentioned Ayuk, and we only have like a minute. What do you do with Ayuk and C.D. Lamb in fantasy drafts?
I think I'm going to move them down in my rankings. The deadline for me on those guys was Sunday. And I'm just thinking to myself now, if I'm in a serious draft right here, right now, and I've got the number 2 pick, and Christian McCaffrey is off the board first, am I really taking CeeDee Lamb? Am I really going to let 3 extra days stop me? I think he's going to play this year, but I can't say for sure that he will. And there's always the chance that he plays the bare minimum of games to get credit for this year before going into free agency next year. That would be 6 games. And you just don't want to take that risk with an early first-round pick when you can get Tyreek Hill, you can get Justin Jefferson, you can get Amon-Ra St. Brown, you can get Breece Hall or Bijan Robinson. It's turned around one into kind of a minefield, but I think you do need to take a hesitant approach with Lamb especially, and to a lesser extent with Ayuk and Chase. At least Ayuk and Chase have been with their teams this training camp.
So if you had the number 2 pick right now, you probably would bypass it on Lamb. You'd probably go Tyreek.
Yeah, I'd take Tyreek. Okay. And I'll make that change in my rankings.
Do you think Justin Jefferson's numbers will dip considering who's throwing to him?
I'm trying to get encouraged on Sam Darnold, Fish, but I don't know if he can really do it. I think once pressure's on Darnold, he turns into like the worst quarterback ever.
Yeah.
I do think that you're going to see 10 targets a game to Justin Jefferson, though. So his targets, his catches, his yards should still be really good.
Okay, so he's still first round. And then real quick, running backs, you mentioned McCaffrey. He'll go 1-1 in most drafts, but you like Breece Hall a lot.
Breece Hall over Bijan Robinson. Yep. I think Breece Hall with Aaron Rodgers in that backfield for more than four snaps can match what he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dave, good stuff. Great to hear your voice again. And Cakes will be back next week.
Yeah, we'll talk next Thursday.
It was kind of nice not having Cakes, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
I don't mind it.
Pelting me with questions.
Right.
A lot less farting.
A lot more this week.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Dave. You. Appreciate it, buddy.
Later, guys.
Okay. That's Dave Richards, CBS Sports fantasy football expert. You can hit him up on X at Dave Richard. Coming up next, we've got an update on the Commanders' kicking situation.